Blog Talk Radio.
Poetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And we always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for all they do, keeping us set up and running, giving us a place to read and share our poetry. And I'd like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so we can share live. We have some really random topics that I will get to in a bit. First, I want to tell you a little bit about our opening song. And if you didn't know, if you weren't a 90s child, it was the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones, The Impressions That I Get. And a little bit about that song, the opening lyrics, have you ever been close to tragedy? The question opens the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones' deceptively upbeat, horn-laden track about the inevitability of tragedy in life from the perspective of someone who hasn't experienced it yet. The song featured on the band's fifth studio album, Let's Face It, attending a funeral for the brother of a friend. He was counting his blessings and wondering how he would react when faced with the devastating tragedies of his own life. In the 90s, it was a common for record companies to withhold singles to boost album sales. While promotional singles were sent to the radio stations to play on air, the downside was the songs that weren't released as singles, such as The Impressions That I Get, were ineligible for the Hot 100, a rule that was amended in December 1998. The song did, however, peak at number 23 on the Hot 100 airplay charts and a hit number one on the modern rock in Italy. So a little bit about our opening song. And before I get into the topics for tonight, they're really random topics, I want to say hello to a couple of our callers. Deborah Lee herself. Hello, Deb.
Hey, Sky.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. You like those Mighty Mighty Boston?
Well, you know, I was sitting there singing along thinking, who the hell is this? I knew the song, but couldn't for the life of me remember who was singing. But, yeah, very cool song.
Bringing it back. We also have another caller here, as we might know, Carlton running around the board. Hi, Steven.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good now. All the busyness of the day is over. Sitting in the air conditioning,
okay.
Relaxing.
Good. Honey, and Honey, he's shrunk to Carlton.
Honey, shrunk to Carlton.
Yeah, I couldn't resist.
All right, you guys. So is anybody in a time crunch? What are we looking at here?
I want to hear you tell us about your fascinating topics before I worry about it.
Well, I usually talk about them one at a time, so I don't overwhelm everybody. So do you want to go first, Steph? You were the first caller.
Totally up to you. That worked.
All right. So one of the topics were, it's pretty cool. These are really random. So it was prompt for, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a diamond. And it's just a video that I came across on YouTube. They have a lot of them, actually, what if videos. They're pretty cool to watch. You should check them out. There's some really random stuff, and you learn a little bit in most of them, too. Some of them are really kind of out there, but some of them are very educational, actually. So a little bit about the video is, what if it rained diamonds on Earth? And it talked about the idea of it, and this is a theory, you know, there's no hard fact, that it rained diamonds on Jupiter. And the new atmospheric data for the gas giants indicates that the carbon is an abundant in its dazzling crystal form. They say lightning storms turn methane into carbon, which as it then falls hardens to chunks of graphite and then into a diamond. These diamond hailstones eventually melt into liquid sea in the planet's hot cores. The biggest diamonds, they are likely to be about a centimeter in diameter, big enough to put a big enough to put a ring on it, though. And of course, they would be uncut. Says Kevin Bain from the University of Wisconsin Madison and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So there were two things you could do with this. You could either talk about Jupiter or the actual facts, or you can go fiction and write me a crazy, chaotic story about raining diamonds on Earth, or you can mix the two. I don't care what you take the prompt, as long as you're inspired by it, I'm happy with it. So I'm pretty excited to see what you did, Deb. And I'm excited that I did get one of each again this time. I am very excited about that. So you get the board.
Awesome. Thank you. And while I was researching to find out, you know, how much reality was in these, it was really fascinating, Sky, and some of the discoveries are incredible. Like the one, that tickled my fancy was in 2012, scientists announced that they had discovered an exoplanet twice the size of Earth and believed that the entire planet was largely made of diamonds. And I was, like, totally blown away by that. And that's where my title came from, that space must be, you know, a woman, because diamonds are a girl's best friend, and now they're telling us that stars and planets are made of diamonds. So, yeah, kind of corny, but that's where it came from, I swear. Here we go. Space must be a woman. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Once upon an ebony space canvas, hot white dwarf stars glittered around. Lightning storms fried methane into soot as crystals forged diamonds to rain down. The gas giants holding minerals and carbon-mixed graphite chunks that planets spew. Now scientists in laboratories are noting that meteorites contain diamonds too. Tons of the extraterrestrial diamonds fall and surf on icy breezes that freeze. Like a hailstone, the gems pelt and melt, raining down into the liquid hydrogen seas. Ice and fire steam hit by solar wind streams. Pressure divides hydrogen from the carbon, spinning into orbs that man calls planets, driving magnetic fields with convection. End quote.
Thanks, end quote. Excellent. I absolutely love this. First of all, I love the science that you put into it. I'm not a huge science, I would say. I don't know a whole lot of like the in-depth range of realm of science, not like Dave Prophet or some of the other ones we have around here. But, you know, it's cool when you come across things like this. And if for those people, I did read a few articles and I did do some research before I posted it to see, because you can't believe everything. You know, I know Hatter says if it's on the internet, it's true. You can't always trust that. And I did come across a few videos on YouTube that were taught you something, but it was untrue. So I always do try to match up my resources. And I love that you did too. I love that you went even further, because this wasn't actually all this knowledge wasn't said in the video. The video was very entertaining, and it did say some knowledge and how it actually happens and what would happen on Earth. But you took like a different route, and you went quite. I'm assuming where you learned from it, with the now scientists are saying that meteorites have contained diamonds too, and I love how you bring in tons of the extraterrestrial diamonds fall into the surf and icy breezes that freeze like a hailstone gem helps them melt. I love that inner line rhyme, by the way. And paired with the end-long rhyme, absolutely brilliant. And again, I don't want to steal all the lines, but I want to call myself hot white storm stars glittered around lightning storms. You know, it's poems like this that bring in such a wealth of knowledge, but are presented in such a creative way. I'm a true believer in education. I went to school for education. For kids, you know, I can't handle adults all the time, but when education and things like this can be presented in creative outlets and through different venues rather than just, I guess, a report form, I always appreciate it, because you learn something, and it's not always easy to be presented in a poetic way, to take those facts and to make them glitter on the page, we'll say, like your poem does. Really, really well done, Deb.
Thank you so much. And I agree with the concept for education. Like, I think that one of the best tools is actually song, music, song. Some of the stuff I remember from kindergarten, like 30 days has September, April, June, and November, da 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 da, you know, it's just, it sticks with you, and you're having fun, you don't even realize you just learned something, or that you'd be an old hag and you'd still be singing the corny little song.
I still sometimes just break out on a song. I'm just a bill sitting on Capitol Hill.
Yep, there you go.
Or Bill Nye, the science guy. Oh, my God, I love that guy. Stephen, do you want to say something? He's like, let me in.
I was actually going to sing that, so now I have to default to Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When I have to remember numbers, I actually sing them. I'm really bad with numbers. I'm terrible with numbers. And if I have to remember a number for any reason, I end up humming it. That is naturally how I learn things. It's why I remember lyrics pretty well, because I naturally, the lyrics and song come to me quite easily, but numbers do not. Stephen, when you think about Deb's brilliant poem.
I like it a lot. I'm telling you my comment that I think it's a very cool educational and rhyming piece. I think it's great because you could tell you did your homework and then you tell us everything that you learned in poetic form. The only thing that kind of disturbs me about this is, you know, if any of these meteorites start hitting Earth, I think the price of diamonds is going to go down really fast.
I was thinking that, though, Stephen, I swear. And then you wonder, we thought they were, if you find a piece of a meteorite, you have to call the government. It's theirs. You can't just keep it. Well, now we know why, because they want to find out how to get them diamonds out of there or keep them away from us.
I didn't know that you can't touch a wall. But yeah, because it could have like radioactive stuff, though.
Well, remember what happened to Stephen King in Creepshow.
I, yeah.
Or remember what happened to Men in Black? What is he asking for? Sugar. Or sugar in the water. I can't remember what she says, but it's hilarious. She calls him by his name. Oh, I'm going to have to look up that scene now. You know what I'm talking about? When the bug takes his skin. Oh, my goodness. I was not okay by the end of that film.
I like that movie.
Do you know what we're talking about, Deb? Men in Black?
Absolutely, yeah. My mind drifted for a minute because I was just thinking, I think it was two where they had those big bubble egg chairs, you know, and downstairs in the basement is the movie theater posters. One's Tommy Lee in his egg chair, and the other one's Will Smith in his egg chair. So I drifted for a minute, but yeah, I've seen the movie. Like there's like three, right? Four? Three? Four?
Yeah. If there's four,
three.
I definitely don't know. But yeah, I haven't seen three yet. But
that's the one with what, Liam Hemsworth or?
Oh, does it have him? I love him.
Yeah, it's got one of the brothers. One of the Hemsworth.
Yeah, Liam's the one that's in Hunger Games. Oh, here we go. Talking about
four.
Terrible. Well, thank you, Deb, for bringing me a little bit about a glittering piece about diamonds with education and, you know, bringing in all those science things and still keeping poetic form is pretty impressive, I got to say.
Oh, thanks.
And before I move on, since you just won't, do you want to plug anything?
Tomorrow at 9, Crystal's doing The Colors of Summer. Whatever that says to you. And on Thursday at 8 is Sweet Pea's Soapbox Show, showing love for the elephants. And I'm going to hang out for the info on the zombie and then hear Stephen read before I go. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we know why I love this one, right? Prompt 3, Star for Zombies.
Zombies.
Oh, my goodness.
Zombies.
Kind of zombies. And there, you know, one of my favorite things to learn about, actually, is not out there in the universe. It's actually here in our own oceans, because there is a good percentage, and I'm not going to quote the percentage just in case I'm wrong, but it's a very, very high percentage of the, I mean, you could Google it, if you want to, but the exact number, but of the oceans that have not been, pretty much, they don't know anything about. They've never been journeyed through. They've never been discovered. They're unknown to us. And it's amazing to me that we want to go further and further out in our universe, and we try and we build all these things, and we get all these probes, and we do all these things to get out there, but we don't even know what's here underneath the oceans. And that always fascinates me. I really love watching documentaries on the ocean life and just, you know, what the things that we can see, these really crazy fish that live in the dark. It really interests me. But this one is Starfish Zombies, ? And a little bit about it. Starfish or sea stars are radiantly symmetrical star-shaped organisms of the phylum, and I'm not going to say that word because I'm not going to butcher it. And the class, I'm just going to skip to the, aside from their distinguished shape, starfish are most recognized for their remarkable ability to regenerate or regrow arms and in some cases entire bodies. While most species require some parts of central body to be intact in order to generate arms, a few tropical species can grow an entirely new starfish from a portion of a severed limb. Starfish generation across species follows the common three-phase model and can take up to a year or longer to complete. Regeneration is used to recover limbs eaten or removed by predators, starfish are also capable of auto-amizing and regenerating limbs to evade predators and reproduce. So they just take off their limbs themselves. They detach them themselves. It's pretty cool because when you think about it, and I was wondering, I haven't read your poem yet, Steven. I don't know if this is where you went, but I was wondering if it would, like, if someone write a poem about, like, so you can really go anywhere about zombie starfish actually being zombies, eating everybody else in the ocean, or, like I said, the actual part of it. Or even, what if we could do that? What if we can just tear off one of our arms and regrow a whole human body? Like, it isn't, like, it's really weird to think about if other creatures could do that. So I thought it would be cool and fun for people to kind of experiment and kind of go wherever they want to see in their creative mind. So I'm interested to see how you went. So.
Well, I think I'm not sure if you like the direction I took or not, but we'll find out. So I call this The Crawling Dead. And I actually wanted to give you a SoundCloud with the music from The Walking Dead in the background, but I just didn't have time today. So maybe I'll do that later. But this is called The Crawling Dead. From the locked and cold obsidian depths of Davy Jones they come, repining the taste of salted flesh. There is nowhere to run. Spiked single arms inchworming up the sandy morning beach, while base with two fingers stand and run with bellowing screech. The whole star, the mastermind, it did spawn them all. Gurgling oceanic groaning, they respond to its bloody call. With whetted jaws so powerful, that rack clam hardened shell. Lifeless stomachs that growl and pang, mollusk hunters made in hell. Shuffling past the dry vineyard, Martha's torn body left in tatters. Heading now for New England towns, sweet human meat is all that matters. Dead ocean asteroids crawl for falling water in small Hampshire that is young. Studio apartments stocked up with a fridge now full of grub. Suction cups climb the window panes, constrict to break the glass. No place to hide in large single room. Last goodbyes lay lips to ass. Towards far corner they do crawl with dark malice that is cruel. Brackish teeth do gnash and grind, yawning stomachs protrude for food. So don't wait for her to call your show, although she sits at home. draped in zombie starfish acidic bowels, while Deb's maggots clean her bones. End poem. Sorry, Sky.
I don't know what to do with you guys. Deb's got me eating maggot burgers, and you've got me getting killed by zombies, not being able to call radio shows. Oh, this was brilliant. You know, first of all, I love the direction that you went. I love the play. I'm getting ahead of myself now. The zombie way that you went, the horror story, that is one of the ways. There were so many in my mind, so many ways that people could take this. Of course, I leap in fiction mostly. My mind just automatically goes to, and actually in this one, it was dark fiction. So I'm so glad that you went this way. And I would love the Walking Dead soundtrack, because I love that show. And I think this is absolutely brilliant. Just sort of a zombie starfish coming up. I love the play you did on Martha's Vineyard. Where was that? Right at the beginning. I thought that was really, really clever how you kind of went through and, well, first you brought in Davy Jones, which was brilliant, and then you're like, nowhere to run, and then you're talking about Martha's Vineyard, but you didn't say it in such a way. Oh, here we go, shuffling past the dry vineyard, Martha's torn body. You didn't say Martha's Vineyard. You switched it up to a person, but you still kind of see that shadow, and I think that's really clever when people take words like that and they spin them around and they're unique with them and they do a play on words. I really appreciate that in literature. So I thought that was really clever. And then the Tatters and the New England towns, brilliant, because you put it specifically to me, because you know how I love my New England. And the next time I go to the beach, which is actually going to be soon, I was supposed to go last Friday with my mom, but I had a lot of work done on my apartment instead. But I promised her we would go pretty soon. And now when I go there, I'm going to be looking, because it's only about an hour away from hers, and now I'm going to be looking around for it. Don't touch it! So I thought this was really cool. This is really, really clever, creative. I love where you say here, the dark malice that is cruel, the brackish teeth you gnash and grind, yawning stomachs protrude for food. Absolutely brilliant rhyme and flow and creativity and language. Really, really well done. The acid vowels is also like, oh my God. The magic and the, I love how you put Deb in there as a shout out. Really, really love that. I'll shut up now. Deb, what do you think? I'm going to keep talking.
Jeez, I was wondering if you were ever going to.
3 hours.
Sorry, I'm just teasing. I couldn't resist. But that's how I started out my comment that I wrote to him. Okay, first, I love that I'm in this poem. And then, secondly, I thought your approach to it was brilliant. I like the horror story approach. Your descriptions, suction cups climbed up the window pane, construct to break the glass, no place to hide in a large single room, last goodbye, lips. Two ass, like, you know, kiss you goodbye, dude. I mean, this is really, really brilliant, start to finish. Oh, and it's a 10, and you're steadily approaching 200. That's, like, amazing. That's awesome. Congratulations. So I'm going to have to save this one, too, because I really, really like it. Plus, like I said, I'm in it. Thank you.
Thank you. I had fun writing this.
Well, I had fun reading it and commenting, obviously. I put it in for Stephen in our studio over at Poetic Place, and it's the do you ever play Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, is that a real question? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't yet. Yeah. like, I would have probably been more into, like, James Bond and that kind of game at the time, but, I mean, I played it.
In the old Mario game, when you were, like, you had to finish the level in a certain amount of time, and when you were getting near the time, it goes, dun-dun, dun-dun, it does this sound, like, hurry up. That's the button that we press when we start going on. Oh, thank you, Stephen, for bringing this. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Do you have anything that you want to plug?
Oh, sure. Look, tomorrow night at Poetic Slice, at 10 p.m. is the Poetic Inklings. Kay found this wonderful artist that uses watercolors. She's got a lot of paintings from her. I'm trying to find her name real quick. Agnes Cecil. A lot of cool paintings to write to. Check them out. I am still trying to figure out which one to write to. They're all just so awesome.
I had a hard time, too.
Yeah, I was looking at them today. I like the butterfly one, but I really like the other one, the one at the space, the looking out into space. I really like that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went with the red background with the butterflies.
I thought
strange
you might
direction,
have.
But you go where it takes you. I've said it before.
And there's no music of sound this week?
Oh, no, there is on Thursday because we're celebrating I can't remember his name now because my brain is just turned off. But the lead singer from Def Leppard, his birthday was last week, so we're going to celebrate by doing Def Leppard at a Movement of Sound this week, 10 p.m. Thursday night.
Awesome. And you might as well go at Friday so I can plug my show Saturday before I let my caller on.
Friday the 13th, 10 p.m. Kay does not want to go dark because she hates Friday the 13th. So we're going light, and we're just going to talk about summer remembrances, bring some poems about summer, and have some fun.
Cool.
Awesome. I was wondering about that. I'm like, it's Friday the 13th. It's really light. That's pretty cool, though. It's the opposite. It's the opposite day. On storyboards at 8 on Poetic Slice, do you guys seem big? The movie Big, Tom Hanks?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you have.
Oh, yeah.
Knock it off, Stephen. No, I'm just trying to joke. But this is a brilliant, brilliant movie. Funny. You can write to any of the themes, any of the scenes, quotes, characters. Or you could just write a fictional story about what would happen, like what you would think it would be like for you as a kid, for you as an adult. Or you can do something really creative and tie the two together. It's really whatever you want, whatever it inspires. Just come by, have fun, enjoy the film. No homework necessary. So you should enjoy it.
Wow.
It's a rare treat, so enjoy it while it lasts. All right, I'm going to let on our next caller. Hello, sweet.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Sweet. Good.
You got to go back later and read the two poems. Deb wrote me a brilliant glittery song poem, and Stephen wrote me about zombie starfish. And Deb was in the poem. Quite interesting. I die.
Oh. Cool.
I don't.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing okay.
It's like, what did I walk into?
No, I'm always prepared when I walk into your craziness. Not that I don't know what I'm prepared for, but I'm always prepared.
Awesome. All right, so I think we're losing Deb. I'm not sure, but you're welcome to stay. But if you are going, thank you for calling. And Sue, do you have a...
Are you asking me?
Or did you just come visit me?
No, I have a home. I can't find it. I don't know what I did with it. And actually, I'm going to have to call you back because I have somebody on the phone. I have to answer a phone call. So I will be back in a minute.
Okay. All right. Stephen, you want to hear some Gerald Green?
Yes, actually, because I read that one earlier, and I look forward to hearing how you read it.
I listened to it. Yeah, I did listen to this one, and I thought it was pretty clever. Okay. Where am I? Button. Who set the button right here? Oh, wait.
Bubble wrap.
I'm going to talk about bubble wrap first. Okay. I'm so excited about the poem. I forgot to talk about bubble wrap. All right. So I literally have been telling every person that I've been passing about bubble wrap. Every single person. Like, I've just been telling really random people, hey, you know what? Like, I was at my brother's birthday, my brother's son's birthday party, talking about bubble wrap. don't you just love really random, interesting facts that you can just tell people randomly, and they're just like, why do you even know this?
Yeah.
Here's one you could pull out. Here's the one you could pull out. Prof 2, bubble. Not to be confused with the old Nintendo game Bubble Bobble. Bubble wrap has been around for more than 50 years. In 1957, American engineers Alfred Fielding and Mark Shevin set out to create textured wallpaper. That's right, you heard me. Textured wallpaper. After sealing together two shower curtains with air bubbles trapped inside, the pair discovered their 3D wall covering wasn't as popular as they hoped. They eventually changed tactics, going on to market it as insulation for greenhouses, but that proved unpopular too. It took nearly 3 years before the marketer at Field Air discovered a better use for their product. The material would work perfectly for protecting newly designed IBM computers during shipping. After demonstrating its protective features, IBM got on board and began using bubble wrap to protect their precious cargo. And then it went from there. And now we just use bubble wrap for everything, including our enjoyment, which is, I think, where Gerald Green went. So thank you, Gerald, for always putting your SoundClouds with your poems and being ever supportive. And I'm going to press play.
Bubble Wrap, written and read by Gerald Green. The secret lab in Area 29 bore fruit. Upwind from where the atom split, financed by Roosevelt, Rockefeller, and Rothschild. The chemists found what they were looking for, to guide the unsuspecting mind with silent forces undetected. Polycarb chlorepinoxide was the secret weapon, made to change the world, create desire for more and more and more. Combined with air, each body soon absorbed enough to toxify the brain, distorting synaptic threads, craving fashion, enhancing greed. It took 2 years to find a way to spread this new invention, make it universal. Temptation was the answer. Simplicity that begs for intervention. Something easy to deliver. So bubble wrap came into being, roll by roll to distribution centers. Bubbles filled with secret toxins, waiting for release. Is there one person left on Earth who has not burst one bubble, breathed the content, felt the strange effect? One small burst demands another. Pop, 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 until the sheet lies flat upon a lap or table. Each generation poisoned like the one before, requiring more, borrowing more, collecting more. Wanting more. The urge takes hold. Feel the bubble bend between the finger and the thumb as pressure builds and begs release. Press a little harder. Roll the bubble carefully, then on impulse, burst it without reason or remorse. Slide your fingers to the right or left. Find another row of bubbles. Feel the pattern, waiting, willing. Some resist, while others give with ease, the higher pressure brings euphoria, a tactile climax just before the bursts. The joy of seeing rows of bubbles, anticipating how each one will feel as fingers fondle back and forth in quiet ecstasy. Give me more. I must have more, the young man says, while placing another order with Amazon. End poem.
My goodness. Gerald, this is so... He is so clever. He is unbelievably clever. I made sure to stop during my day and to drop him a link and to say, hey, you check out my topic board if you have time, because he is just so on point, so clever. All his writes are so enjoyable, and he does something unique with them every time. First of all, opening up right off the bat, I was in, because he was like secret lab area 29 for fruit. So I absolutely loved it, bringing in Roosevelt and going in with the chemist and going in with this secret weapon. I thought was absolutely brilliant. And then the way that it unfolds, I wasn't quite expecting, I guess, that temptation was the answer. And he's so right, because those bubbles are really, really tempting. Mm-hmm. Even as an adult, you just gotta pop them. And you know, they're coming out with this new bubble wrap that doesn't pop; it compresses, so that they can ship it more. Ship more of it, and less, that takes less space. But one of the things, it doesn't pop like the other do, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm fond of that. But by the end, I was just about dying. The urge takes a hold, and then when he talks about the bubble bend between the finger and the thumb, pressure builds and begs for release. And then he was like talking about, he's just the willing, waiting, couldn't resist, and the euphoria. And it does. It has a bit of euphoria when he's present, and it can be quite addicting. I love the way that he went with it. I thought it was so clever. And then by the end, when he's talking about Amazon, I was just about dying. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliantly done. Thank you, Gerald. That was really, really well written, creative, unique, clever, all the above. Really well done. Stephen, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was great. I was smiling ear to ear the whole time I read this earlier. I didn't want to listen to it. I wanted to wait till the show. I was hoping that I'd be here when you played it, because I knew I was going to have a little time to stick around for a bit today. But, yeah, I told him in my comment that this really does describe the odd euphoria of popping bubble wrap. I told him that I really like, because when I used to work at Home Depot, we'd get stuff in the bubble wrap. Each bubble was as big around as a 50-cent piece. It was huge bubble wrap. And I used to like to put it on the floor and jump up and down on it. And that was just like that was the absolute bliss, listening to them. You could hear it across the store, me popping those bubbles. And it was fun. And I've run across that stuff that you're talking about that compresses and kind of transfers air from one bubble to another. I remember the first time I got it, and I actually tried to pop one. I was like, what the hell? This is a ripoff.
And they're doing it now because it's like packing and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Brilliant.
This is absolutely great. Yep. I was actually thinking about writing to the bubble wrap, but the route I was going to take, I just put on the board, because and that's a verse from Peter Gabriel's song Steam. And when I hear bubble wrap, I think of that song. So I was thinking about writing to that, but I didn't.
Oh, you want to read it?
But what for the verse from the song? What is it?
Yeah.
It goes, everybody knows dive, hold your breath, count to five, back, slap, will be trapped, cover it up in bubble wrap, room shake, earthquake, find a way to stay awake, it's going to blow, it's going to break, this is more than I can take.
I was kind of expecting AP to join in halfway through.
No, the distance is a problem. There's a second delay, and it becomes a real mess, guy. You know, that's the problem.
Hey, AP.
Hello.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I don't know if you have to go, but if you do, thank you. And if you don't, you are welcome to stay for a little while. Either way, I appreciate you calling and actually singing to me. That's always exciting. And AP, did you get to hear Gerald's poem, or did you get to read it?
I did. And I thought it was the lovely thing about Gerald's poem is it's tactile, Scott. You know, so we talk about things we see and things we smell and everything else, but it's rare that a poem is like about touch. And that's really hard to do. It's really hard to express touch in words. But what Gerald does is does a fantastic job of actually that real sense of having something in front of you and really wanting to do something and building an anticipation of the touch of something. And that's really very clever.
Thank you. Absolutely. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Let me invite back on. Thank you, AP. Sweet, hello, sweet.
Hello, darlings. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. We're just getting a couple comments for Gerald's poem. I don't think you heard it. So I think I will just say
thank you,
Gerald. Yeah. Thank you, Gerald, for bringing that. And brilliant, brilliant piece. Thank you. All right. Now we're hanging out. AP, do you have something to
Yes,
share?
I do. And I'm quite excited about this because I've been wanting to write about this for a long time, and you've given me the opportunity. So I am going to put it up on the board, and then I will. Firstly, I'll give you a pronunciation. This is Uama Uma Uma, and that means scout in Hawaiian. And I am writing to your diamond theme, Sky. And it goes a little bit like this. We are dazzled as diamonds compose a sea. It moves languidly in glistening angles before watches up on a beach by degree where a crab's rush to create gem tangles. Loading the small stones up onto their shells, their movements watched by eyes. There are diamond hunters hereabout, they cavort and tussle about in skies. Thin membranes allow fine wings to spread, a kilometre so can float on thin airs. And they allow a portion so can harvest, the crabs and their bling so rare. And they meet the trading ships every week, cylindrical vessels of rock rescuer, while those ships we already have seen witness the journey of Uama Umua, end poem.
Excellent, excellent. And may I ask, why were you deaf to write about this? Why were you so impassioned to write about this? And I finally gave an excuse.
Uama Umua is the first interstellar object that we have tracked within our planetary system. Came from outside our little group of planets. First time we've ever tracked an object that has done that. And it is a very small object. It's only about between 100 and 1,000 metres long. It's only between 30 and 150 metres wide. It's coloured red. It tumbles. It doesn't actually go in sideways movement. It tumbles. And strangely, it picks up pace when it leaves the atmosphere above what it should get from gravity. And I sort of looked at that and thought, that's really funky. And there's a group of people who believe, and I'm one of them, that that was the first time we've actually witnessed an alien spacecraft go through our little piece of the world.
Oh, interesting. And 2017, is that right?
It did that at the end of 2017. It was first seen by the Hawaiians in a telescope in the end of 2017, which is why they were able to name it, which is why it's got an Hawaiian name. But it's done a series of really very quaint and strange things. And I sort of reckon, well, why not? It can be there picking up the diamonds from the crabs in the far planets. So they can be toasted.
Yeah. into diamond hunting. I thought this was brilliant, brilliant, because, you know, with these prompts, I really wanted people to kind of go where they wanted to, fiction, reality, mixing the two and bringing something that we can learn a little bit. And that's what you have done, and I think this is absolutely brilliant. First of all, we are dazzled as diamonds compose a sea. I love that. It moves languidly, listens, angels. It's beautiful. And then you even bring in, like, the theory, like you had kind of said, like you kind of left upon, and thank you for expounding upon it. I don't follow things as much as I should with that kind of stuff. I did Google it right before you talked
yes.
about it, but I wanted you to talk about it. I'd rather somebody who knows more about it and isn't just reading from something they read on Google. So, you know, I thought this is absolutely brilliant. And the way that you kind of brought in the diamonds with the crabs and their bling so rare, and kind of brought in that little fun in with actually not only bringing in the idea with the diamonds, but actually bringing me an entire new subject and something to kind of chew on and learn about. So I thought that was really, really cool. There are diamond hunters here about. The way that you bring in that theory that, you know, that might have been a shift, but you bring it in as they are diamond hunters, bringing in that little bit of fun play and tying the two subjects together. This was absolutely clever, and I was hoping you were going to write to one of these. I was wondering if it was going to be the diamond one. I'm like, I think he might really like the diamond one, because I know you're quite adept at things such as, you know, kind of like Dave Prophet, you're quite adept at things like on this subject in nature. So I was like, I wonder if AP's going to drop by and write me a diamond poem. But really, really well done, AP. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, pleasure, Scott. Pleasure. I really wanted to write it, so there you go.
See, I finally gave you an excuse. If you wait long enough,
okay. Yeah.
The diamond hunter
yeah.
Fine. Sweet, what do you think?
Exactly.
Well, as always, he's brilliant, and I love the imagery, and I'm very curious about the whole, this is a glimpse of tracking an alien spacecraft, because since I have pretty much no idea what the heck you're talking about, because I don't follow any of it, now I want to go and find out what you're talking about and look into it and go, did we see something? Because I'm very curious. And I'll have to go and talk to my husband, because he's like all into that and spacecrafties and space and all that. And I pay zero attention to it. So now it's something I can go look into and maybe have a conversation over dinner with and like look brilliant. So not only did you entertain me with your poetry, you gave me something that I can might, you know, actually go and have a conversation and look quite intelligent with. So you entertained me, you dazzled me, and you gave me something I can use my womanly wiles with. You are all things to me, AP.
Thank you. Sweet. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Do you got anything going on Saturday that you want to talk about?
For the Hatter and my good self on the program?
Yeah, you're usually with him on Saturdays, right?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we've got inspirations. We've got inspirations. So we're talking about the things that inspire you when you're a sort of teenager and kid and stuff that have kept on going on. And for me, space is a great example of that. I'm sort of like the last great space nut. I'll keep on looking at NASA and see what's going on. And, you know, I'd note with interest that applications are open for people who want to become Martian astronauts, as we speak at the minute. If you're aged between 30 and 45, US citizen, you can go on to the NASA website and register your interest to become a Martian astronaut. And so, you know, I know this sort of stuff because I just keep on looking at it. The remarkable stuff that NASA does.
You know, I heard something on the radio the other day, or maybe it was today, about they're paying people to live in if it were on Mars, like a to see what it would be. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's really, it's so weird because I don't, I don't usually listen to the radio, but I had to listen to the radio today, and I actually heard that. Yeah. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I would do that. But it's pretty cool.
I'm too old and too sick, but apart from that, I do it every day of the week. But I'm not a U.S. citizen. Apart from that, I've got all the bases covered. I meet about one of the 10 possible criteria. I'd still like to do it, but you know, I'm probably going to come up short majorly.
Well, brilliant. Thank you, AP. I don't know how long you have, but I do appreciate you calling and hanging out with us.
No, I'm going to exit stage left, but I'm glad that I had the chance to write about this, because I have been wanting to write about it, as I said, for a good year. So you gave me an excuse, Skye, which is always wonderful.
Thank you. I have for my next show in September, I'll have the topic out by the end of the show tonight to talk about.
Brilliant.
So check it out. There's some more really random stuff.
Oh, no. When it comes to quirky and rant, then you've got me every day of the week. It's brilliant. You know, just keep throwing it out there.
Thank you, AP, for calling.
No, pleasure.
All
okay.
Right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, sweet. Sweet, me and you. Just how
okay.
I like it.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. Whoops.
I got Hatter too. I don't know. Maybe I should send him a reminder and be like, "Are you calling? Because you got me." He wrote about the ketchup, and I'm excited because I had everyone write about. I had everyone so far write one for each prompt. He's my only ketchup one, so
I didn't write to your prompt at all. Just so that you know.
Well, that's awesome.
You tell me to write to whatever I wanted to. On the
Who
internet.
Did?
You did.
No, I didn't.
It says whatever you fancy.
That is not what it says.
Whatever I go on and on about the internet.
No, that is not what it says. But I'm going to let you read to me anyway. Because
what does it say? Or whatever you fancy.
Have you ever spent hours clicking on random videos on YouTube? I know I have, and some really random things I've learned about. Pick a prompt and write about whatever inspires you. I see. But you got to pick from one of the prompts. The 1, 2, 3, 4.
Or whatever inspires you. Pick a prompt or whatever inspires you.
Pick a prompt. And write about whatever inspires you. I guess
it does not say that. It says, or whatever inspires you.
It doesn't say or. It says, and. Look again, my friend.
It does not.
But it's okay, though.
You just change
it.
Okay.
But, I mean, who am I? I'm just the girl in the attic, you know? I need to just listen to you. So.
I actually read it or. I read it or, so you have to forgive me.
It's okay. So just so you know, because I don't think you've called yet, every second Tuesday of the month, I pick out four different prompts, and they're just really random stuff that I come across on YouTube. That's why it's called Down the Tube, because it's YouTube stuff that I just kind of see. And then I look through a little bit of research about it to see if it's actually true. And sometimes there's places, sometimes there are creatures. I have one next month that's really going to freak you out. I actually put it on and I thought Sweet Pea is going to hate this and it's not going to write to this one actually. So I know you're
about
snakes. Finding out. It is about snakes. But that's not the only prompt. That's just one of the four prompts. So it's actually an island, but, So every month, there's four different prompts, and then you could pick of one of the four, watch the video, and you can go fiction or reality. So you can write about, you can take it completely to fictional, or you can write about the facts. But I am happy to read whatever you brought me tonight, too, as well. So, and it's about introverts, as I'm looking, I think.
Well, actually, so, yeah, but I don't put that one on the board.
I already did.
Okay. We'll take it
off. You're going to have to release it. I can't. I'm going to do this.
I will. I just redid it, the whole thing, so I have to redo it. So
okay.
Let me take that off. You know how you're doing it, and you're like, eh, well, I like that one, but. God.
Do you want me to give you a minute and say hello to Hatter so you can chatter yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Hatter.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Oh, good. How you doing? All right. Really hot. Uncomfortable.
Got to get an AC.
Yeah. Keep tough.
I got my staples out today.
Are you feeling okay?
A little wiped out. It's we're in triple digits again. Hot out there.
Okay. Well, here we're talking about what if diamonds rained from the sky, talking about some starfish zombies, talking about bubble wrap wallpaper, and you brought me ketchup medicine, which I'm excited to read. And sweet, as soon as she's ready, what she's doing has gotten something.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Hold on.
I love you.
I'm there. I know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm being a pain.
No, I don't mind.
Yeah. Go, I really am. I'm sorry. I just, it's part of my computer's being a pain in the butt. My computer's being a pain in the butt. And I'm being a pain in the butt. And I just totally redid this. You know how it is.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
How you doing, Hatter?
Do you want Hatter to go first to give you a few more minutes?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. All right,
okay.
Hatter. So here's what I do. I read a little bit about the prompt. And then I give you the mic. I'm really selfish, and I'm a mic hoarder. Is that all right with you?
Yeah. Have you read this? Have you read my piece yet?
I have not read your piece yet. Nope. I did not read any of the pieces. I actually read one. I read Gerald Green did an audio, and then I started listening to it when I was downloading it.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop listening, so I did. I'm really excited because everybody, at least one person wrote to each prompt, which thrills me when that happens. But you wrote to prompt one, ketchup, the medicine, ? And this is about ketchup, as we know, is a sweet tomato paste. Many years ago, ketchup used to be very salty sauce made out of fish or mushrooms to be eaten with food. In 1834, Dr. John Cookie, USA, added tomatoes to the sauce and sold it for medicinal pills due to the nutritional benefits of tomatoes. He claimed it could cure illnesses such as diarrhea, indigestion, and jaundice, which obviously we all know that's not really what it happened. So the video was pretty cool. I put it up, and I asked to stay on topic without going into all like his kind of scandals in life, but about this. And it was really cool learning about how it was really kind of ill-packaged before with all the bacteria growing and how they kind of – and how Heinz was the one who really learned how to package it right. And, yeah, what did you think about the video? Did you watch the whole thing, or did you just go with the idea of ketchup?
To tell you the truth, I remember chatting with you about – you had mentioned this day, your show. I don't remember writing it, so we'll see how this goes.
All right.
So it's going to be
it's a
week
winner.
Here, I think.
So, at the end of these shows, I always talk about the next really random one because I usually have it ready and I put it up right after. So I probably was talking about it on the last show before the show ended.
No.
So.
But if your liver, I had mentioned it. I said, I always blow it. And you said, well, you've got days. It was like 5 days ago. I said, oh, yeah, I guess I do. I thought I was late. So it's called get a Third One Free. Oh, she's coming down the hall. It goes like this. Can you hear that? Is there background noise?
I don't hear anything. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't hear anything either.
Okay. So get a Third One Free. It's got what it takes to pour on a steak, then polish the chrome off on my car. Summer flies in the rasp of your thighs, whispers it's a half-empty jar. It can unclog a drain, and what's insane, it goes well as a dessert. So spread it thick with a popsicle stick. It will clean your old bowling shirt. With a dab or two, here she goes. With a dab or two, you can avoid the flu. Who needs another shot? The magic it tends to spindle and bend. You will feel it getting a little hot. It never goes bad, so slather your dad. His bald spot will go away. One last thing, it might tend to sting, so use it just once a day. Send 19.99 and pay for a shipping fee. Buy two today with a coupon, and you get the third one free. Yeah, okay. I remember now.
So one of the things that I did, too, when putting these up to help people if they didn't know where to go, I did write for this one, you may also write about a creative poem of your own household product or products that you want to market as medicine. And you kind of took that idea and marketed it for everything, all these random things, which I love that you did that. That's what is really interesting about this. They can talk about these really random things about the ketchup and stuff, but people can kind of go creatively. And I really love that you did this. First of all, the $19.99, why do they always do that? So that it's not $20. They stop right on the $9, you know?
Because it's under $20.
Yeah, but it doesn't say how much the shipping fee is, so I'm pretty curious to see the little fine print. The shipping fee is like $120. But this is so creative. It's got what it takes to pour on your steak. I would never, ever, ever, ever put ketchup on my steak. Blasphemy. But it would be really cool to see someone rubbing ketchup all over their bald head trying to get their hair to grow back. This is so fun and creative, and it really did sound like one of those infomercials late at night that you're just like watching and you're like so tired that you think, maybe that's a good idea, but it's really not.
Yeah, it's like the Bass-O-Matic.
Absolutely. And then there's the magic, it tends to spindle and bend. That inner line little rhyme I thought was pretty cool. You'll feel it and get a little hot. I thought this was absolutely brilliant. Brilliant and creative. Thank you. And you were the first to drop at her. So not only were you not late, you were the first to drop. So really,
really?
Well done. Yeah.
Wow. Good figure.
Sweet.
That's
what
a rarity.
I love it. I think it's hilarious. Everybody always talks about your rhyme and your cadence pattern, which is absolutely beautiful, and I love that. One of the things I want to really compliment you on with this one, and I don't compliment you enough about, is your damn imagination. Your imagination is just always blows me out of the water. I know we call it creativity and everything, but bottom line is it's imagination. You have this broad, beautiful imagination, and this comes through in this, between my father's bald head and you know, what ketchup's going to do with, unclogging a drain and cleaning my bowling shirt and putting it on with popsicle sticks, and just such a little tiny poem. And you've got all these things going on in your head. They call you the Mad Hatter for one reason, and it's just because I think of all the madness, the good madness of imagination that goes on in your head. And I just want you to know how much I really appreciate that, because it makes me giggle so much.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in a box. You know, outside the box. I'm always outside the box.
I know. And you paint the box, and then you scribble on it, you graffiti on it, and then you black it out and graffiti all over again. It's just amazing. And there's Amadeus agreeing with me.
Thank you, Amadeus.
We love you, too.
Well, I got nobody to watch when my husband's in Utah.
How at one point they advertised ketchup as medicine. We've come a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think ginger ale. I think ginger ale at one time had a medicinal property to it.
The ginger does. I don't know why. I mean, it's the ginger and the ginger ale, I guess you would say.
Yeah, it's to calm your stomach, saltine crackers and the ginger ale.
Well, the Coke and Coke, it makes you happy too.
You know, I never got like the mustard plaster. I never got cod oil, or I never had to use that eucalyptus. I guess some grandmas made the kids eat it.
I don't know. My mom put whiskey in my bottle, so.
My dad too. Set that baby up and give her a little whiskey. Put some right to sleep.
There you go.
That's what's wrong with me and Sweet Pea. We were given whiskey as children.
It's a back east thing, I swear. Put a little whiskey on them babies. You'll be good. It's cold. Put some whiskey on them. Give them a little whiskey. Put the whiskey on the teething baby. You're good to go. Hot toddy, 15 years old. Get that. Give them a little bit of your hot toddy. You're good. I don't know what that was all about.
Well, did anybody had to take the cod liver oil? I can't imagine.
No, my mom never did that. She's quite clever, though. Like, she knows a lot of remedies that are really, really, like, just, like, if I ever need to get a stain out of her shirt or need to get anything, like fix any, like, a hardwood table, the scratches, she's just like, put lemon oil on it and scrub it with a lemon. And I'm like, it really does polish it. Like, it's really weird what she tells me to do. And sometimes I Google it, like, if I have, like, if it's jewelry that's, like, all, like, rusted, you know, she has these, like, really weird remedies, and they really work. It's weird.
Oh, yeah, lemon oil.
Saying,
lemon oil on
furnaces. I'm not saying all her home remedies are kosher, but a lot of them are.
What was with the mustard plaster thing? Put mustard something all over the chest and
Oh, yeah, it brings out the, supposedly brings out the congestion, the heat of it or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something like
that. When I got sick, I just bundled up with as much sweat clothes as I could put on and got under the covers and spent the next 24 hours on sweating it out of me, and it usually worked.
Well, they did that to us, but they gave us a little whiskey to help sweat.
Yeah, I don't think we got any whiskey.
Oh, yeah, you got bundled up, but you got a little hot and hotty too there in your bottle.
Well, I'll tell you what, my mom made it that if you didn't go to school, you better be sick, and she was going to make you miserable. Because, oh, you went to school.
Yeah.
You infected everybody else. How about the chicken pox parties? Well, Somebody has it in the neighborhood, so the next thing you know, you're playing over some kid's house you've never been to before.
So that you would get,
Because either you have it and you're gonna and the other ones want you to give it to their kids, or they have it and we're getting just to have it all at
I
one
time. I got the chicken pox when I was pregnant at 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We didn't have chicken pox parties. Yeah, no.
Well, you know, well, that's the things that we are immune to. Immunized when we were little. It's to prevent the young adult killer diseases, which is the measles, and a lot of young adults don't handle the chicken pox as well. So you want to
And they made me at like 21. They made me get they gave them to me. Like I went to the doctors and they gave them to me because they can get it gets worse when you get older. So I never got them.
Yeah.
So they when I was 21, I just went in and they technically gave me a very low dose so that I just had it in my system. I don't know what they do, but I never got them.
Some of these people are in for a big surprise because they have been refusing to immunize their kids. It's back in the law now, I believe, but the ones that weren't are going to be susceptible with the influx of people from around the world that we don't know what they've been immunized or not.
Well, yeah, but they're not.
All the tetanus, whooping cough, are done in Southern California are showing its head again. And I mean, we pretty much eliminated smallpox, but there are some places in Africa that still thrived. So, and that would be a total devastation for people. Yeah. Polio is another one.
Non-topic because I read the word end as or, but it's still an internet topic down the tube.
Okay. I'm ready.
Because this is the internet, I look at a lot of, because I'm in HR, so I look at a lot of stuff on how people behave. So sorry I didn't do ketchup or dead zombie fish, but this is what I look up at on the internet. So.
Must be true.
This is what I told it. So I troll the internet. So this is, the internet tells me how to behave. So this is the extrovert moment. I have no filter. Things are hard to hide. Words spew out. Yeah, God, I didn't do that right. Words spew them out, dripped in sarcastic wit. In a complicated backward way, I offer high respect. Introvert moment. A quiet moment, I reflect my lack of self-restraint. Internally, courage and self-esteem, fight in a boxing ring, rounds 1, 2, 3, in my introverted brain. Anxiety moments, fearing rejection, craving attention, woman on the outside, insecure child inside. My moods play on swings, flying up, rush to the high, pit in the stomach, drop low. Should I giggle, should I cry? I never meant to hurt introverts, outshine extroverts, and anxiety tells me why. I am just the I and Pope.
Brilliant, John. I search the internet for stuff too, and they actually have on YouTube, since we're talking about down the tube, they have these videos like on, there's this one that I watch a lot. It's called The Bright Side, and it talks about the illusion. Sometimes it talks about personality types they go through, and that's what this reminds me of, those extrovert, introvert, and those moments of anxiety, these things that I think we all have, that we can all relate to an extent with each one, because they're all human emotions. I really like this line with the swings. Where was it? It was said in a really clever, different kind of way. You're like, my emotions plays on swings, or where is that? Where is that line?
My moods play on swings.
Yes. I thought that was really, really clever and creative, the way that you put that. And, you know, even if you are more introverted, there are always moments where you have to be a little bit more extroverted or you have to be. And I can definitely see this part of you in the beginning with the sarcasm and the saying what's on your mind. And I actually find that very, I find that very appealing because I tend to lack that. I tend to dress up what I say and quote what I say in a way where I'm overly, I don't want to be offensive, but also I pretty much just avoid conflict in any way, shape, or form. And it's not always healthy because sometimes you just go around and around the point and you really don't get anywhere. And for those people that are just, to me, I think, I have a lot of my close friends are very blunt. And it's because I need those blunt people in my life to be like, all right, just spit it out. Like, what do you think? You just need to be, I find it a very attractive quality, not just like in a relationship, but in my friends as well. I find it very, when people can just say what they think and just say it straight out and not fear, I guess, another person's reaction. I actually find that very endearing. So I actually like that quality. I could definitely relate to the introverted moments and the anxiety moments, mood swing moments if I don't have coffee or if I don't have sleep. So I think that this is very relatable, and I think sometimes we all wonder if we should giggle or cry. And I like the rawness and the openness of this and the truth that it carries. And, yeah, the honesty. Very well done.
Well, thank you. I think that the first stanza and the second stanza are actually my left and right holding hands. I mean, that's totally me. Together, my left and right brain. I mean, I can't have them one without the other.
Because they're loving in their marriage?
Yeah.
You didn't get that.
You can't. I did get it, but I just went, okay. But, you know, I can't. I'm not going to go there with you on the radio, Sky. But, you know, you can't be one way and not go back and go, oh, God, should I have said that? Oh, man, I look like an ass. Or, man, did I insult them? And you're always like, oh, God, nobody's going to like me. And I'm so mean.
I have those moments in the opposite. 2 hours later after the conversation is over, I'm like, I should have said this and I should have said that and I should have said this. And I'm going to say it now to no one. You know, I have those back and forth moments.
See, and I'm the opposite. Yeah. I'm the opposite. Like, oh, my God, why did I say that? Oh, my God, you're so mean. Why did you have to be such a pain in the ass? These people are going to hate you. You know, you're never going to have real friends.
I actually have to prepare myself for arguments. Those are the arguments that I'm good at. So if I ever, I prepare myself for a potential argument so that I'm ready. I'm like, I think if I say this, is this going to start an argument? All right, if they start an argument with me and they say this, this is what I'm going to say. I literally have to prepare myself for arguments.
I do that all the time.
Otherwise, I'm just a hot mess. Hatter, what do you think about Sweet's poem?
I like it. I like it better after she explains it a little bit. I'm sort of spaced out today. No, there are times where even the introvert needs to step up, and you got to take that moment. You got to take that fear, put it in your pocket, and then be you. Since the brain operation I had, I was able to debate anybody. I had good wit, quick wit. Now, and after the brain surgery, it's like I'm more introverted than ever. And it hit home with the mood. My mood plays on swings. I like that. Flying up the rush to the high of the pit of my stomach, drop low. It is very, very imaginative. Is that the word? Imaginative. piece this together. Yeah. Should I giggle or should I cry? That's how you feel afterwards. Should I giggle or should I cry? You're exhausted and you don't know
yeah.
why.
Exactly.
Yeah, I went through that. I had what they called agoraphobic tendencies. I could only go to the store at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was the 50-50 chance I would ever come back with food then. If I didn't have a dog to take care of back then, I would have starved. But it's an uncomfortable feeling.
Okay,
did very well.
Bringing that and for being honest and truthful and raw. And do you want to talk to us about elephants?
Yes, I want to talk to you about elephants. I love elephants. I've been a big supporter of elephants. I have an elephant. I own an elephant that lives in Africa at a sanctuary. Her name is Alessa. She's 2 years old. I've been with her since the day she was born. She's amazing. Yeah, she's pretty amazing. She only cost me 120. She's an African elephant.
African,
not Indian. Yeah.
Oh.
So she has the big ears, not the tiny ears. She cost me $125 a year. Trust me, I'm only a part owner because she eats a lot more than that. It's a really nice sanctuary. It is National Elephant Day that we're going to be celebrating.
Sure.
So just bring me poems, bring me love, bring anything you want about their heritage. Elephants are one of the few animals that actually remember. They mourn their dead. They are a family unit. They are women run their groups, not the males. Males kind of wander about and do their thing, but they're a monarchy. They're a monarchy. No, they're matronly run, and they're being killed so senselessly. It's ridiculous, the numbers that we don't have because of men's greed, because they think they can have better sex with certain parts of an elephant. They're just wasted animals. They're just wasted for tiny bits of their bodies. And it just hurts me to my core. So this is my soapbox. This is what I get up and I fight for. And their land's being destroyed for no purpose. There's no purpose. It's not to save the human race. It's not to feed children. It's not to find medication. It's not to do anything like that. It doesn't advance the human race. It's not to solve a disease. It's not to do anything. It's just for greed. And that's what gets me. That's what gets me the most. And so I will come down off my soapbox and go there.
Is that Thursday? Is that Thursday?
That's Thursday
night. And it's earlier than usual, right? 8 o'clock?
Yeah,
Eastern Standard.
8 to 10.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that's an excellent topic this week. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I got a little carried away on my soapbox. I shaved off a little edge.
No, it's all right. It's all right. AP plug Saturday, but if you want to plug it again, you're more than welcome. If you want to leave it, that's fine too. AP called earlier and did plug it for you, but you can plug it again if you would like.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about what high tech thing inspired you when you were growing up. What was the first thing that you got in your childhood that was never before? Technology, how did it inspire you? It's like the Atari years when it first came out, the video games, home video game system would have been one. But there's a whole variety of different things that different people would think. We're also going to try to we'll be looking at the the poetic verses of Metallica's I want to space out on the title. It doesn't matter. Oh shoot. Nothing really matters. Nothing matters. Shoot. We're going to just look at some of the verses of the professional poets, some of the rockers, some of the songwriters. And they are poets. I did that before. Been a while on the shows, and I guess to try to bring it back, maybe inspire of people how to write poetry, different things. So that's what we're going to be doing Saturday.
Awesome.
And I wanted to say, do you remember Amanda Blake played Kitty on Gunsmoke?
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, she had a farm in Galt, which is about 30 minutes south of me, and it was a large animal refuge. She had tigers, lions, elephants, anything that would she could save from a circus or any other any zoo that couldn't keep them, she would take them and live her life protecting the big animals. Sort of throw that in there. She's no longer with us, but she had a great, she's big heart for animals. I love bleeding heart. Animal lovers.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Heather.
I just wanted to say, you're welcome.
You guys are awesome. Do you want to hear, we don't have any more for this show, but I think we're just going to go really random off topic, and the name of the show is Really Random Stuff, so that's totally okay. Do you guys want to hear about, I always try to plug, even though it's the next month, I always like to tell you a little bit before we go up really off the rails about next month. Do you want to hear about it?
Yes.
Thanks, we do. So next month, you got to bring me one of four topics, okay? It's already up, all right? The first one is watermelon snow. And to learn about it, you got to read. So you got to go to the topic. I'm not going to go into all the details. I'm going to do it on the show. But that is the first topic. And I think Deb might like that one. It's a little bit of a soapbox push. But number two, the prompt two, is the marble caves in Chile. And they're absolutely gorgeous. Just check them out. Check out the video. Prompt three is the carnivorous caterpillars in Hawaii, because apparently they had some evolutionary things go on there, and now their caterpillars are carnivorous. There's a really scary gift in there, so you can check that out. And prompt number four, which is I think going to be Sweet's favorite, is Snake Island. So
yeah, I'm not gonna be there.
So those are the four prompts that you could write to for next month down the tube, really random stuff with me.
What was the first one? Watermelon milk, or what was it?
Watermelon snow. Click on the topic to learn about it. So there's videos.
Okay.
So if you don't want to read videos, but I hope you guys like to read being poets. But there's videos too. So you can do both. You can watch it. You can see it. You can read it. And you can go fiction or reality. So if you watch the video about carnivorous caterpillars, even if you do something that's completely away from the material and do something creative in the line of fiction, that is okay too. So these topics, you can go wherever you want. So I put a little thing actually here. So you could write, watch the video below. This is stuff of my nightmares. You can take the facts and give a super scary story, or maybe he's just a guy looking for some grub. So, and then the snakes, I wrote, watch the video below. Remember, you can write about what you learned or a fictional poem, thriller, or are you cuddly with the snake? You choose. So I don't think.
Hey, sweet.
Yes.
Isn't she cute? She doesn't think that I'm going to go off the back of it. but rails anyway. You can do anything you want. Anyway. Of course I am.
God.
Well, guys, we still have about 25 minutes left, maybe 20 minutes, because I have a little play out song and I want to talk about it. So since we're all done with the main topic, I want you guys to find me two really random poems that you want to read to me. And
random poems.
The really random stuff, yeah. So, and
random things to read to you.
Yeah. Really random things. And I do have a really random thing I'm actually just going to share because we talked about, AP brought up aliens and atmosphere. We're talking about, you know, space and diamonds falling from Saturn and Jupiter. So I just decided that I'm going to go that way too. So while you guys are looking, I'm going to read this poem that I wrote
the
other day.
Give us a topic on something random.
No, it's you. You pick. Oh. It's really random.
I know, but see if we've got, give us a topic, see if we got a poem on it.
There's no topic. There's just really random.
I'm telling you, give me a topic and I'll see if I, give me a topic and I'll see if I have a poem on it.
Random. String.
Spring?
String. Or buttons.
Okay, let me see. String
All
or
right.
buttons. Okay.
So, this is called An Orbit Craft and a Bit of a Chaff by Sky Darkle. There is a craft circles black, tucked in sky, a universe of possible converse on standby. Stars gather at its edge like thin tower lights, a flight of speckled stretches breathing night. If you look upward, you'll nary see its dawn, for its entourage of camouflage is like throng, tucked tightly between the knit of universe, between the blue and the beyond of Earth, a ship not unlike the Black Knight satellite, conspiracies of alien life down rills of twilight. And who dare discover such a cryptic craft? None that may remember this brilliant chaff. For terrestrial life likes to have the last laugh. End poem.
I like that.
It's really random.
Nice. Nice. That is random, but very cool.
Well, I thought it would go with the little bit of aliens that AP brought us. It was for a John Coe contest. All right.
I like it.
Got a poem,
Adam? I got one up there. I was just playing the second one.
All right, I'm ready.
Cool. Good to go. My vault's so messy. Should I?
Are you ready?
Oh, you want me to read? Read?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I thought Sweet said she had. Okay. I pulled this just randomly. And it's Perfect Mistakes. It goes like this. The picture says stop, but keep moving. It goes like this. Forgetful memories of incarcerated escapes. For I am clearly fuzzy and I make perfect mistakes. I wander through the quests on an unmarked traveled trail, popping lead balloons, filling empty sails. Evening the odds, I watch the righteous pimp trying to solicitate a group of jumbo shrimp. I forgot the memorizing nonstick tape, for I am clearly fuzzy and I make perfect mistakes.
And I make perfect mistakes. I really like that because I think we're all so imperfect. It must be perfect to be imperfect, don't you think?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I guess we're right on there. I thought this was very, very clever, and I do like that idea. And I see you've got Deb has got it marked as amazing brevity here. And I thought that this was very, very clever, cleverly done. And even that opening stanza, that's what it makes me think about. It makes me think about, it is a little bit fun. It's a little bit whimsical, but it also has a little bit of a message too as well. Really, really well done. I think this is a good pick. Stop, but keep moving.
Thank you.
Do you know do you ever have that moment when you go from one room to another and you forget what you've been in that room for?
All the time.
Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened during that time? You were stolen by an alien and brought back to Earth.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool.
Sweet. What do you think about Hatter's Home?
Well, I love that, and I love what you just said, too, but now I'm all thinking about that, and now you've freaked me out because that happens to me a lot, and now I'm all weirded out. Thank you very much. God. No, I love your poem.
Right.
Because I want to be, because I'm always furry, and yeah. I make.
Yeah, it was all about oxymorons.
Yeah. And since we're going the alien route, there you go. Again, your imagination is amazing and your sweetness and you're beautiful. And no, I didn't find anything about buttons, but you went alien, so I decided to go alien. And then he went alienish, and then you went alienish. So I hope. Although my dog's
calling. Did you say go get two poems? Was that one from her and one from me? Was that two from her?
Yeah, yeah. One for you, one for her. And I think that will be. Yeah, then I think I'm going to say my thank you. I have some, and then we don't have to feel crushed. I have some information about the closing song, and we can listen to the closing song and probably, have a little bit and say goodbye to each other afterwards. And then
mine's a little long. So I apologize.
That's okay.
I don't know if you want me to read my. Mine's a bit of a story.
I want you to read yours.
Okay.
Sweet.
Mine's about an alien. All right. And this is Exteria. Exteria stood over 7 feet. His skin was pale. His six black eyes protruded from the left side of his bubble-shaped head and pocketed across his pale body, numbering into the 20s. Laid his hearing nostrils on the right, were his diamond-shaped eating teeth able to cut through the flesh and bone of any creature. The residents of Cremasteria only whispered of the creature who howled as the two blue moons faded into the lightning storms at the end of the day. And with every dead animal or missing child, another twisted story enhanced the mystery of the creature living in the hills of Cremasteria. Exteria, deep in the caverns of the mountainside, frightened of the species that lay below. Their anger had scared him to obscurity over 100 years before, and as now the blue moon faded, Exteria howled toward the stars of his home, hoping someday he would be taken home away from the evilness of the evil creatures, of the human creatures. Yeah, away from the evilness of human creatures. Cassandra often came into the woods, seeking an alien creature. Stories passed down from her families told of the bloodthirsty humans that had greeted the creature years before, and Cassandra wished to meet him on her own. Cassandra was not a responsible child, and when the day faded in the lightning of the blue moons, she became trapped, frightened and alone as she lay weeping in the caverns of the high mountain. Exteria heard the child's cry and approached with caution, skittish and fearful for his life. Exteria wrapped his large alien body around Cassandra, patting her head and cooing a melodic tune in his language. Cassandra calmed and laid back into the alien's warm body and drifted off into a deep sleep. Exteria felt happiness, for he had forgotten the warmth of touch for centuries. Exterior held Cassandra and walked down the mountain and into the town of Crematoria. He wished to bring the child home to her species, for he had felt the loneliness of solitude and wanted not one night of sadness upon the child he gently held in his arms. Whispers became screams as the humans misunderstood the sleeping child, cradled against Exterior's tall, pale body. He laid her in the field of flowers in the center of town. As a barrage of weapons assaulted him, spewing his gray-brown blood upon the ground, he wailed to the stars, unaware why humans wished to inflict pain upon his body. Exterior wailed for hours before he finally laid silent in the town square. Crying the innocent tears of a child, Cassandra refused to leave her savior and cursed her people. Suddenly, the skies turned bright lime green, and thousands of Exteriors rushed to the body of their fallen friend. Ripping apart humans, their limbs littered the streets, and heads departed from bodies rolled across the town. Cassandra shed her human form and rose, standing 7 feet tall. "Slaughter them all," she commanded her troops, "for not one understands acceptance, kindness, or courage. They do not belong in the future of our galaxy, a wasted species." Cassandra watched as every human on Crematoria was brutally slaughtered. Then she entered her ship to Earth to finish off these ungrateful, unevolved humans. She howled happily to speak in their language once again. End poem. Boy, I need to rewrite that. That's pretty bad.
Have you ever seen Pete's Dragon?
I love Pete's Dragon. It's my favorite.
Well, this is like Pete's Dragon, but alien gone really, really dark.
Sweet and beautiful.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is like Pete's Dragon gone, like, really dark in the depths of despair. Oh, my goodness. Because, you know, it starts with this, you know, he's alone in the woods, and he's the only one of his kind. And then he meets this human friend, and you say, oh, like, oh, this is, like, you know, this is complimentary to this kind of story. And then you start ripping people apart. Start maiming them. Like, bodies flying everywhere. I'm like, nope, this is the same story. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
oh,
the human was actually one of him.
No, I know. I got that. I got that at the end, but still, just like, it was like a test, you know? And this was just, like, by the time it got really dark there at the end. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's going all out. I thought this was really creative. What I want to know is, did you make up the names,
everything is made up. Exterior, Crematoria, yeah, all of it's made up.
I love the creativity, and the moral and the message of it. You know, there needs to be a level of kindness and acceptance. And if there's not, then aliens are going to come rip our bodies apart. That's a great message. I thought this was really great.
Isn't that beautiful?
I know. Really, really brilliant storytelling. I'm glad you read it. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, let me scroll back to it. Swatted them all.
He loves it.
I think I remember this.
It's on one of your lists.
It was what?
It's on your list. It's on your house. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that explains it. I remember commenting on the cream and Sinatra.
Yeah. Cream and Sinatra. Cream and Sinatra, that's what you call it.
Yeah, one day we're going to have to try a collab, a sci-fi collab or something. Can you do, I can just see you wanting to let go here somewhere. You're harnessing everything.
I think she let go in this piece. Listen, the slaughter them all, she committed to her troops.
Oh, wait. I have
apart
heard.
Humans, your limbs litter the streets. Heads that
departed. Well, I wrote this 2 years ago, and I'm like, this is really bad.
Oh,
Isn't that funny?
Fine. You got a cold. It has to be. It has
I
to
know,
be.
But I'm.
Brilliant. We don't like it.
I
touch stuff. Work is never finished. I touch stuff up all the time, but I always keep the original. So keep the original because it's good. But if you want it to be differently, then just differently, you know. But it's fine either way.
Yeah, I know. I just really have to touch this up.
I do want to thank. So we have about 9 minutes left, and I have to talk about our closing music, and I want to say my thank you. I do want to say thank you to Deb, Steven, AP, Sweet Hatter, and Gerald Green for all participating and dropping and sharing some really random stuff with me. I loved learning about the diamonds and the zombie starfish and the now I'm even lost what I even did at this point. But I had a great the ketchup medicine, and then I'm missing one here. Don't forget, next month, and I'm going to drop the topic board, the topic list now, so you when you guys are listening, you can click and check out next week. I did the wrong thing because I copied something. So I'm going to try that again. I'm going to, if you look on the board, I'm going to drop the topic board right there for next month. You have a whole month. Get ready. Check it over. Get some inspiration, hopefully, and write me a poem. And come back next month, the second Tuesday of every month, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you guys for hanging out with me.
You're welcome.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
It's always fun.
See the echo. It's back.
And now I got to talk a lot about our closing song. And guess what word it has? Have you guys ever heard of closing time?
Yes.
Oh, I think I have.
All right. So this song, it has a very literal meaning. Being asked to leave a bar goes much deeper than that. Semi-sonic lead singer Dan Wilson wrote the song when his wife was pregnant with her first child, which turned out to be his daughter named Coco. Halfway throughout writing the song, he realized it had a double meaning. It could be about being born and coming out into the world and seeing the bright light, cutting the cord, opening up to see something deeper and more universal, Wilson told Mojo. Shortly before recording his schedule to begin, Wilson's wife experienced some complications, and she was born 3 months premature. This song, the day finally came nearly, what am I saying? It remains a popular song. Sorry about that. This remains a popular song at bars when they are ready to pack up. This is a no mistaking the message. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Semisonic vocalist and songwriter Dan Wilson told Hollywood Reporter in a 2010 interview, "I really thought that this was the greatest destiny for closing time, that it would be used at all bartenders, and it was actually. It is still, I run into people all the time who tell me, oh, I worked at this bar for 4 years, and I heard this song every single night." Closing time is something bartenders would often bellow at the end of the night to not so gently encourage patrons to leave. It's something Dan Wilson heard often in Minneapolis drinking establishment, which provided the title. So, you guys want to hear it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course you want to hear it. All right. Thank you again, and I will see you guys soon. And here we go.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on. time for you to go out to the places you will be from. I know. Some other beginnings end.
What do you think? Brilliant song.
Yeah. I liked it. Closing time. Can't stay here. Yeet, forget.
You can't go home. You can actually stay here for 30 more seconds, but then you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because I'll be closing up shop.
Yeah. I think my meds are kicking in.
You know, that's the wonderful thing about Blog Talk is that we can socialize while at home. So we don't even have to go very far when it's over.
Hey, you can bring your own bottle.
All right, well, thank you so much for writing, Hatter, and for stopping by. And don't forget to check out the link for next month.
Yes, ma'am. We'll do. Bye.